For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And we welcome you inside this Monday Sports Ethos Sacramento Kings podcast. Sam Comente here with you alongside, as always, into the new year, the incomparable and all-knowing Jill Adge. Excited to start 2022 doing this with you, Jill. And for the Kings, it's apparently new year, new us. Well, that's according to Tyrese Haliburton after one win against a COVID and injury depleted
Miami
Heat.
I'm okay with him having that mindset.
But shit. Yeah, I guess. I love the confidence.
Well, as a 2-year player, he should have that mindset, right? Like, right. if he's already, like, after 2 years saying this place is horrible and we're a sunken ship, like, that would be really bad.
Yeah, the alternative is worse. That's fair.
Yeah.
But the Kings did beat the Heat, who still had their two best players. Bam Adebayo has been out for a couple weeks, actually since the beginning of December. He broke his thumb, I believe. And then they have guys in COVID protocol like PJ Tucker, I think Dedmon, former King legend, all-time flop of a free agent signing, Dwayne Dedmon, who's been awesome for the Miami Heat, of course. Those guys didn't play.
And that's where he fit perfectly before, right? Like, we see that so many times.
Yeah. I hate that. I hate that.
And they use them differently. I mean, they use them like the Miami Heat use people. I mean, but it helps when you have a lot of talent around you, right? Like, that's, yeah.
And then the sub-storylines that I don't think were as exciting as they could have been, potentially. Of course, the Kyle Guy and Nick Stauskas revenge games. And Kyle Guy had some good moments, and no one's ever doubted that Kyle Guy could ball. I saw someone tweet, I forget exactly who it was, one of the, you know, Kings Herald guys, if I'm going to make a guess, said that, I think it was Tony Zipteris, said that comments were made after the game about, you know, Kyle Guy being able to ball or whatever. And he said, like, we've always known that. He just never got the fair chance, you know?
Yeah, but Buddy Hield made that comment.
Someone made, I'm trying to put a lot of different things I read randomly together and I'm failing at it, but guy was always a guy that could score and could have some good moments. It's what he was in college. He was a big time playmaker in college for that Virginia team that won it all. He just never got his fair shake here. And then Nick Stauskas, we don't need to even talk about Nick Stauskas. I don't think he did any. I think he had like one basket maybe, super anticlimactic, which is kind of Nick Stauskas's career in a nutshell. Just total letdown.
Yep. Yeah, I was happy for Kyle Guy.
Kyle Guy was a great guy. He's a great guy.
And that's the thing is, he's that like kind of sparky shooter. And one thing I think he's really improved, and, you know, I'll credit Stockton's G League team and then what he's having to do in Cleveland now, but you're seeing much more of the playmaker side to him. When he came in, it was like, is he going to be a point guard, shooting guard? Like, what can he do? And to me, he seems much more almost fit into that scoring backup point guard type role, but his assist numbers are crazy. Like that dude puts up numbers in the G League, no problem. And we know that he could shoot lights out. I mean, there were games where he was making like 10 to 12 3-pointers last year.
Oh yeah.
In some of the Stockton games. And then we saw, you know, some flashes when he got some time here, but yeah, it was just never. When you have that much of a log jam in your guard rotation, you know, he just didn't get the opportunities. So it's kind of cool seeing him get those elsewhere. And he made he was part of the training camp roster with Cleveland, and then they kept him for the G League. So that was, I mean, you know, and that's cool for upcoming
Justin
teams.
James
so,
were.
And so, you know, always maybe we'll. We'll see something. Well, and at first it was Utah that signed James, and then they let him go and signed someone else right after. And then Cleveland picked him up. But yeah, we're seeing kind of, you know, the flashes that we saw before. So, you know, this was the cool thing that we had said, you know, the last couple of weeks is that we like seeing these, you know, young guys that have talent, but have never really been able to kind of break in. And you look at that, like the Warriors and, Gary Payton Jr., right? Like for 7 years, that dude has been trying to break in And this year he's found his niche on the Warriors team. Like, it's just cool seeing guys that have put in so much work. You know, and Kyle Guy worked out with the team for the whole summer. Like, he was with Rico and all those guys, you know, in LA, and then going back and forth between his home and stuff like that in the Midwest. So, I mean, he, you know, we know he puts in the work, so it's cool seeing, you know, guys get their opportunities when they come. Cause if not, I feel like he could go make a good amount of money in Europe. I mean, worst case. So
I would shred it out there.
I hope he keeps going and gets his opportunity. So,
and there's very few teams, Jill, I think we could agree, that can take a G League talent or some underdeveloped talent and utilize them appropriately and grow them as an NBA basketball player. Few teams do it better than the Miami Heat, who can spin guys out of nowhere. Duncan Robinson is a really good recent example. The guys we saw last night, two of them in the lineup, starting lineup, Omar Yurtseven, the Turk Nowitzki, a beast, 22 points, 16 rebounds. He was incredible in summer league play. We saw it. I think Mark Jones made the comment that he loves to play in Sacramento because that's when originally he made his name. The Heat signed him to an actual contract, and now he got his big chance. Well, these past couple games, I think. And Caleb Martin, who was released by Charlotte.
Yeah.
A really good wing player, 3-and-D guy, went to the UNR. And he had 15 points.
And, you know, I want to say that's one thing I think where I keep bringing up, like, the Miamis and the Torontos that have found kind of these hidden gems, right? Every year they seem to find one. I think what they do a really good job of is they evaluate their roster, right? Like, they know what they have. They're not trying to make somebody into something they're not. And then they find these gems and say, we're missing this piece. Like, let's find someone that we can develop, like, that fits this particular role. And that's, like, that's their role. That's what they're going to do. And they keep finding these guys, right? Like, that was the Duncan Robinson. There were games where that dude made like 6 to 9 threes and did not dribble once. Like, it was literally like you ran specific plays. His job was defense and to catch and shoot, like, nothing else. And so I just see that you find, they just seem to always be able to find some sort of role. And it helps when you have the talent on your roster. Like, we'll keep saying that.
To take the pressure off.
They're Miami, their destination. That's cool. But it helps when they have that talent and then they know the exact pieces they're missing and they're able to mold, you know, find guys that fit that mold and then plug them in. And the Spurs did that forever, right? Like, that was their calling card where they had their, you know, 3-4 core guys, and then you found exactly what you needed from everybody else, and everyone played their specific role. You didn't try to turn into someone else. Like, it was, they drafted that person and made them that way rather than, oh, I'm not going to draft him, I'm going to go take this guy and try to mold them into this. I always kind of felt like, instead of taking, like, Donovan Mitchell, I had said at the time, they didn't take Donovan Mitchell because they tried to turn Buddy Hield into Donovan Mitchell, like, as the shooting guard. Like, and that was never good. Like, that's just not him, right? Like, how many years do we have to see that? And so I just feel like some of these other teams, they know exactly what they have and they don't try and force, you know, players outside of their skill sets.
Which is why if Buddy gets to a team that is in a better situation, has a better
roster, all know he's going to excel.
He's going to do great. He'll still have those hot cold days. Him. Because that's Buddy Hield in a nutshell, but he won't be hated if he's in a much more stable area where there's more talent around him.
And like, if we ever were able to add more talent here, like, he would have been fine here too, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, it's never worked out that, like, we keep right. And we keep saying this, there's guys that have talent here, but together they just don't fit. And so, to me, like, I think we're both in this set, like, we're happy with wins, but we're like, we're not expecting anything to change because for 3 years now, they've showed us, don't expect it to change. This is how we play together. And it just doesn't work. Mm-hmm. Like, we might have some individual talent, but together, for whatever reason, just doesn't work. So until something changes, it's hard for me to think that.
Yeah.
I want the players to think that because they should. I mean, they're the ones out there on the court, but as a fan, there's really not much of a reason for us to think that until, you know, moves are made that something will magically change.
what I was saying to you before we went on here was that because they have individual talent that just doesn't mesh well, it leads them to be in situations like they were yesterday where they can beat a talented team in the East and then probably follow it up by getting blown out by the Lakers. They can do this up and down, hot and cold roller coaster that we've seen all year and pretty much all of last year. Because
we can hang around the Jazz and then lose to a G League team. Like, right. That's just sounded right.
Because you have talent to compete, but if in the games that it doesn't work, it's a disaster. In the games that it does work, you play competitive or you get a win. I would love to know what the Kings' record is in games where Buddy Hield has at least 20 points and 5 threes. Because last night he had 26 points.
It's up there.
7 threes. They have a good record, right? They have to when Buddy shoots like that. Buddy doesn't shoot like that every game. He's like the Kings and shows up one day, doesn't the next, and then we get pissed one day, happy the next, pissed. I mean, since we last did an episode, Jill, they beat Mavericks in a good, entertaining game, even though the Mavericks were shorthanded, then didn't show up in the second half on New Year's Eve, got destroyed by Dallas, wasn't very close, and then did this. We just don't know what to expect ever. Does that mean the Kings suck? Yes, but not as individuals. Again, I don't think the players, sure. I refuse to believe, because I hear like Tim Maxwell or Sacktown Baby Giraffe says a lot like these guys suck. I don't think they suck. They suck together. They don't suck as players. And that's why I think there's more value to some of these guys than we lead on. They just don't belong in the same gym and on the same roster. It's
the same way that people say that players here suck all the time. And then they will go find the perfect role on another team. And all of a sudden they don't suck anymore. Like, they're all good enough to get here. It's just the NBA shows year in and year out. You have to be in the perfect situation unless you have a team of all-stars. Like, that's just how it is.
Yeah.
And if you're not in the right situation for you, like, that can completely derail you. I mean, it's as simple as that.
Yeah. And even the teams with all-stars, a ton of talented players, they can struggle if obviously the chemistry isn't there or the coaching isn't, you know, the exact guy they need to lead them. It's a good Kings win. People are kind of happy when the social media team posts a post-game speech from Alvin Gentry, which I just noticed that they had posted one. And I didn't watch the whole thing. I do like Alvin. I think we've all fallen in love with him more and more, especially in these, ironically, in the post-game pressers in which they lose. Alvin Gentry is fucking hilarious. I mean, if you guys need to find me, I'll be drinking. Like, that on Friday was awesome. Yeah, I'm open for suggestions.
Yeah, the jerky one, Christina had a good one where she posted on top of it where it was the one of us.
Yeah.
Where it was like, that's something a Kings fan would say. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. He's a funny guy. And what I did catch, of course, was him hammering the motto of this team established by Rico Hines, now a front of the bench assistant, is just keep stacking days. And when you're a team like this, where you're so unpredictable and you don't know what the future holds, because there's going to be some change. I know everyone is joking that McNair is just asleep at the wheel. I'm still confident McNair is going to do something, probably something pretty big when the time comes. We just don't know when that time is. But for a team like that, you got to take it one day at a time. And you're still the 10th seed. Unbelievably. Well,
and that's why, I mean, they're still in it, whether we like it or not, right? Like, whether people like it or like, whether people out there like it or not, depending on what their viewpoint of this team is, they're in it. And so
do you like
you it? Have an own you also have an owner that really wants to make the playoffs. So it as long as you're still in it, I think it would be hard for any GM to probably try and sell a free-for-all, you know, if you're to an owner who wants to make the playoffs because he hasn't had it before. Do you know what I mean? Like, realistically, like, that's where I'm at until I see it. Like, until they show me otherwise, I have no reason to believe that, you know, if there's a chance there, that then they're going to try and get the chance, you know? Yeah. So we can ask COVID to keep going away because, again, a lot of the league is in protocols. And so, you know, I'll keep saying this, that hinders deals from being made because you literally cannot complete a deal if someone is in health and safety protocols like that.
Yeah.
That eliminates. You know, we've been waiting for the player pool to open, right, to get these deals done. Well, now it's limited again because you have guys out every other day and they can't travel. They can't complete physical. Like, there's, you know, you probably don't want to be the team to trade someone on a health and safety protocol either.
Yeah, it's not going
to
look good.
And then you don't know how many days you have to wait to complete it. Like, right? Then you're sitting there without, you're trying to field eight players, right? So let's say you make a trade for, you know, you send two guys out and you're getting two guys. Well, if people are out in protocols, you just eliminated two people from each team from, and you don't know how, when they can even come to your team.
Yeah.
So then you're what, signing 10 days until you can complete a trade? Like, I don't know. There's just,
no, there's layers to it.
There's, I mean, it's, yeah, unfortunately.
We have seen two trades in the past week. Neither of them overly exciting. The Cavaliers, tragically, I'll say, because he was having such a great season and the team's been so much fun to watch. Ricky Rubio, he tore ACL. What was the exact injury now? Now I'm actually forgetting
ACL,
what it was.
Yeah.
ACL. In an injury that he had sustained previously in the same leg. He's out for
in
the season.
In a contract year, that sucks.
And in a contract year. He was playing so well on an upstart Cavalier team. So they went ahead and traded for Rajon Rondo to kind of fill that role, well, to fill that role as backup point guard from the Lakers. And then Denzel Valentine, who was shipped to LA in return, was then shipped today to the Knicks,
Super
I don't think anything. I don't think anything of that. So,
and all they did was help LA clear.
Yeah, that's all. LA just wanted that spot. So,
and they wanted the roster spot open.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing is interesting to me about the Cavs is, I don't know if anyone's been looking at Kevin Love's numbers recently, but I'm super curious what the Cavs are going to do with Kevin Love. If they're going to keep him, because he's fitting in with that group really well right now. Now that he's healthy, I mean, he's putting up almost 20 a night, hitting 5+ threes. They're playing defense. They're the number three defense in the league right now. They went from not that far from the Kings to number three.
Yeah.
The Timberwolves were the team right below us last year. Where are they? Number 10. So again, switching some things up, adding length, all things that can help change a defense, which this team is still sitting in their same spot. So,
right.
Yeah,
I've said it.
It'll be interesting.
I think I said it to you on here, or I've just said to my basketball fan friend, good luck trying to score in the paint against Jared Allen and Evan Mobley, and then Isaac Okoro is on the perimeter, and Rubio, when he was healthy, is on the perimeter. Darius Garland's no schmuck.
Like, not even that good of a defender, but he's like 7 feet. So, I mean,
yeah, he's just long.
You're adding length. And like we said, when even if you're not that good at defense, having the fallback of having the wingspan or the length, like, extremely helps. And tipped ball, you know, just putting a hand, like, it can.
Kings don't have that type of length. Help.
And so we just. No. And so it's just, but yeah, I'm curious to see what Kevin Love, if they're going to keep him or if that's a name that's going to be shopped. There hasn't really been much talk about it recently. Like, we always heard about it right in the off season because they were going to be a bad team, which turned out not to be true.
I would find it weird.
I mean, that was, will be interesting.
It'd be weird if they traded him now, and he has $28 million left on his contract for next year. He's a free agent 2023, but he's got one more year after this for 28 mil. That's going to be hard to move when you're talking about a guy who's, I think, 34 and has injury problems. And so I would go ahead and bet that unless they get a good offer, like a legitimate one that still keeps the talent going up.
People thought the same thing with Horford, and his deal has been moved like twice.
Yeah, but that's fair. That's
you
true.
Just never know. Yeah. I mean, if there's a contender that wants, that needs him enough, they'll pay it because they'll pay. They're already.
Well,
in
why
the
would
packs
the Cavaliers get rid of
them? Just the packs.
Clear cap.
Unless they're getting some young talent. Like, if there's a contending team that wants him and has some young assets, I think then you do it because you clear cap and get younger.
Mm-hmm.
And that was always
their goal.
What was said that he would be traded for. So, but now that he's working with you, I mean, and he seems happy. Like, he's never. I will
never
say one
happy.
Thing about him is he's never been one that's like, he's accepted the situation there. And you know what I mean? Like, during the bad and made the best of it. So, so it'll be interesting, but just, I have him for fantasy, and he's just been going off. So
yeah, that's a good,
and
good
as well
pad.
As the Cavs, you know, even with all their injuries, they're still playing great. And so
I feel so proud of myself.
I know that was a name that people had been preparing to watch for. So
I feel so proud of myself for predicting, I didn't think they were gonna be this good, but for just seeing the potential of the Cavs and pointing it out. It's on record. It's recorded previous Spotify episode or Apple podcast. I can dig it up. I know it was said that I believed in the Cavs. So hope they keep chugging along. And I would love it if they kept being aggressive, trying to make the team better. They need some wings.
I just don't know about Rondo there. I don't know.
Rondo's weird. Rondo's a weird one, but guy that's been there, done that, kind of like Rubio. Doesn't shoot like Rubio though. Thanks to Brett Huff, a fan, a good friend of the show, and I guess a fan of the show as well, and a Kings fan. He reminded me this morning about how many days we have till the actual trade deadline, with a photo of Kwame Brown. I don't know if you saw that. 38 days.
38 days. Yeah.
So the NBA trade deadline. I forgot Kwame Brown was an NBA player. Played for like every NBA team, it seemed. 38 days is not a long time. I don't know why when I read that, I was like, is that right? And then I realized we're in January now. And the deadline is always the first week of February or into just the start of the second week. I forget. I think it's February 9th. I should really do more research before.
Yeah, I don't know if it's adjusted based on.
Yeah.
Everything that's going on. It'll be interesting to see if there's anything that's changed.
But I'm thinking, well, obviously there won't be 38 days till we see more trades, but we're going to get pretty close to that deadline with thanks to the COVID madness before we start seeing crazy
activity. And people don't want to hear this here, but as long as the Kings are kind of like right still in this, like they're around, you might not see something until closer. You know what I mean? Like to really see like, okay, we're a week out. Where are we now?
Sure.
You know, it's the reason why you see so many deals done the day, you know, 24 to 48 hours prior to deadline going out. And especially with all this uncertainty and so many teams still in it and not in it, like it's crazy that teams are still this close to each other. And I think that's still hindering because you only have a handful of teams that are completely out. You know what I mean? Like that they're not within the 10 contention. And even the Kings at 10 aren't that far behind. I mean, aren't that far ahead of the Spurs or the Blazers. Like those teams could very easily overtake and then us go back down to 14 or whatever it was. So I just think that as much as we might not like it, and I hope it doesn't do, I mean, I hope it doesn't end up being this way, but I also wouldn't be completely shocked if, as long as it keeps playing out this way, that you might not see anything until closer.
End of January. The play-in has added, obviously, a whole wrinkle to this, where teams that realistically, with eight teams making it, no play-in, are not going to make the playoffs. You know, they're now going for it because they're actually within distance of the 10th, which is literally the Kings, who, to build on what you said, they're a half a game and then one and a half games ahead of the Spurs and Blazers, respectively, for the 10th seed. And then looking upward, they are only 3.5 games out of the 6th seed, which is clears the play-in. You don't have to play the play-in. And that's the Clippers, who they currently have a better head-to-head record against.
And Paul George is hurt, right? Like, yeah, they're between injuries and COVID. Like,
yeah,
it's still anybody's game.
It's besides, the top,
you know, the very, very top.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was literally about to say, the top four are pretty much locked in. It's going to be everybody the Suns, else, Spurs.
It's really anyone else's game.
Not the Spurs. The Suns, Warriors.
Yeah. And do we really think the Blazers are not going to like swing for something? I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
McCollum is coming back soon, they think.
It's hard to imagine a playoffs without Dame and CJ. I don't know. I don't know. Yeah,
that's true. They have a lot of good postseason memories. I'm just realizing now that the Rockets, after that fun win streak, have now lost 7 straight. They're more of a roller coaster than the Kings, which is incredible.
And they've suspended guys. Yeah, that's a whole.
And the East is as it usually is a mess.
Yeah. So
maybe it's weird, Jill, that Bulls are number one seed in the East. The fuck is happening?
Look what can happen in a year and a half of someone taking over. Crazy. But my favorite trade package by far is the Bulls and Harrison Barnes trade package of Patrick Williams. By far.
I haven't even seen this.
If they're going to do
one. I think you just told me.
A lot of the like athletic Bulls reporters think that because he's out for the year.
Right.
Pupil's out for the year. Like, and they need a wing. They were talking about like Jones, a first, and Pupil. And it was like, take it and run. Or Jones, P. Will, and I think
Derek Jones,
Brown. Yeah. It to match salary, like how they were doing it. But for the Kings, you'd be getting a player who's not available this year, but a really good young wing defender talent. So,
and Troy Brown,
to me, that was the one that I liked out of any of the Harrison Barnes, you know, ones that I've heard. But, and I'd love to see him go to a winner, right? Like,
oh, yeah,
he'd fit in well there.
Oh, absolutely.
That is a name that Chicago media is targeting. It's him and Grant. Those are the two.
Right.
And the Grant based first. On their salaries, their the offers are essentially the same. But with Grant hurt and Barnes not.
Your move, Chicago.
But I would hope if there was a move like that on the table, the Kings would have taken it. So, I mean, I don't know.
We don't know what goes on in McNair's head. And we're about to touch on Monty here in a second. But I have one quick aside. Speaking of the Bulls, and we are going to, I imagine, soon, maybe next episode, dig back into your list, Jill, of head coaching candidates that you've compiled, because we haven't done that in a little bit. I just realized. Is Chris Fleming on that list by chance? He's the interim coach currently for the Bulls. He's been with Donovan for a while. He was a coach in Germany. I think he is slowly starting to make himself a pretty good name.
He's not high up on my list, but
he's not high up on the list, but he's on the list. That was
I've told you there's Betty on the list, but he's fair. Down there. Yes.
Okay. I was just trying to see how impressive this list is, because Fleming is going to get some love. Like I would imagine, especially if he keeps coaching and they keep winning, because they're on a 7-game win streak. If Walton can get the love for coaching a super team in Golden State and then turn that into a job, I think Chris Fleming, who's been in the league much longer and coached overseas, should deserve that love as well. It's a very well-rounded organization suddenly, because they weren't for very long, for so long, I should say. But good GM, good coaching staff, good product on the court. It's a shocker how that works. All right, yesterday, our buddy James Hamm tweeted out before the game.
He's had a good showcase, we'll put it that way. Showcase.
Yeah, I don't know. And again, we don't know with coaches how long they're going to be in protocol. Gentry was gone for, what was it, 4 games in the end, or 5? Forget how many we had Christie for, but he's going to get more run.
Yeah.
DeMar DeRozan's been helping him, though, by his clutch shots. James Hamm tweeted that Wes Wilcox, assistant general manager, and Monty McNair, general manager, were flanking, as he put it, Vivek Ranadive courtside yesterday during the game. And then I think Wilcox, again, I was telling you, I didn't really see Wilcox. I saw McNair. So I'm thinking maybe Wilcox was there just like at the start of the game and then might have gone to go do assistant general manager duties or take his kid to soccer practice. I don't know. But this was for sure, Jill. I feel like this was not for sure. I have a feeling this might have been the first time I've seen McNair courtside. I don't remember him sitting courtside next to Vivek. I don't even know where he usually is.
He has.
Okay.
Yes.
But like right there, like I've seen him like near the bench.
Both of them. Yeah, okay. No, he's sat in like multiple different,
nonetheless,
with guys. But yes, this isn't the first time now.
Right, but it was because
he
was
also did it when Vlade came that day too.
And they that's right. How could I forget that? That was weird.
But no, he has sat there previously, but I don't remember Wes necessarily sitting there. And he also, I also think he doesn't try and do this very much because it gets noticed.
Yeah. True.
You know, whenever it kind of does happen, but
it was just weird timing.
Interesting to be a fly on the wall.
On the wall. So I just, you know, we're just going to obviously be speculation. We won't try and speculate. It was just worth mentioning because definitely don't remember when both of them were there next to McNair or next to Vivek.
Right. And as we've been told, those are like the two heads of the snake, right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And I'm curious whether that was Vivek that said, "Hey, I would like you guys to watch the game with me." I'm like,
very well could have. Yeah.
Come look at what you've put together in front row, Joe. Tell me what you see, because I don't see much. And this is just the fact that it came after the game against Dallas. That was just such a mess, you know, just a total collapse, causing Gentry to go drink afterwards. it was auspicious timing. And, The fact of the matter is, though, is there really much of a storyline there? The GM sitting next to the owner during a basketball game? No, it's not crazy.
It's always interesting in Sacramento.
It's It's always an interesting segment. And then I just wish that McNair would find a spot, you know. Vlade was consistent and Jeff Petrie was consistent. I'm in the tunnel. I'm a tunnel guy. I'm gonna chill here. I'm gonna flex on everyone how big and tall I am, because like I'm over the railing because I'm 7 feet tall here, Vlade, and Jeff Petrie was 6'7" or whatever. McNair is just, you know, kind of floating around the arena. It's almost a game to try and find where McNair is. But
yeah, I mean, he's been in the suites before. He's been down in the tunnel area. Like he's been in the front row. Yeah, he's
like touring the arena,
a couple different spots. Yeah,
trying to
like by the where the players sit before in the front row. Like he's been in different. Yeah, I don't know. And he's there's never really been a talk about like his designated, you know, where to find him, like so many others here. So.
He doesn't want you to find him.
That's and I think Vlade did that because like that was his like Petrie omen, like right? Like that's what he knew. And so
that's true. He was used to Petrie.
I also
watching
don't
him.
Know. I don't know what Daryl Morey used to do, which is where he maybe would have like that's where he was brought up and would have saw like how he did it. So yeah, I don't know.
It would be an interesting thing to try and like put together a compilation of like where every NBA GM tends to be during a game,
and
just
it always
to see
helped,
the variety.
Yeah, when I did have my season tickets, I was able to look at all that stuff because I had seats by where like Ken and Brandon Williams used to sit, and then back in the day, where Mike Brotz was. So like you could always like find your guys, and so with me not being there, it's
I'm
relying on others too.
I wish I had that, Jill, to do the inside work for us. So. As long as Ken Continelle
is doing
days,
well. One of these days I'll get there and I'll look around.
Yeah. I miss Ken. I hope Ken's doing great.
Yeah. And then when Brandon got like, you know, that whole issue, then Ken would sit there by himself. Like Brandon stopped coming out because after that whole thing happened with Jaeger, like he stopped going and sitting there. And so poor Ken was just chilling there where he'd, you know, bring another guy up. But
I've seen some shit. I mean, It's crazy.
It's always interesting to watch. Yeah. And then I was always by the assistants families where the assistants families sit for the coaching staff. So you always had interesting conversations. Overhearing the interesting talk there between you'd have some player section and then where all the assistant coaches family sit. So
I'm remembering now, actually, when I was living in SAC, I would valet. That was my job in college, but I would, on Saturdays, I'd be at Arden Fair Mall Ballet, and I'd see a lot of people there, like Kings people. I saw Jesse Murmurs, or however you say his last name, Walton's friend. He had parked in my valet spot, and then kind of funny, he was leaving. And so he was going to his car. He goes, "Oh, are these valet spots?" And I looked at him. I was like, he's wearing a Kings hat. I knew who he was. And I was like, "Yeah." I was like, "But it looks like you're leaving, so I guess it doesn't really matter." He goes, "My bad, dude." And I was like, "Yeah, well, have a good one." And then I was going to be like, "Go get a win," but I didn't, you know. I wasn't 100% certain it was him. So if it wasn't him, it would have been weird. But I know for a fact I did watch Ken Continelle as I'm sitting there at this podium at Arden Mall, kind of bored. And there's a trash can right next to the podium. So people would, you know, come out or walking in, they're throwing stuff in. Ken Continelle, all of a sudden, out of the corner of my eye, I look over and he's peeling a banana, throwing the banana, peeling the trash can, eats his banana and looks at me. Weird context to put it like that, but I was like, I kind of like head nodded him and he was like, "Hey," and like eating his banana and just wandering into the mall. I was like, that was Ken Continelle. It was such a weird interaction to have. Enjoying his banana.
That's great.
He didn't have like shopping bags.
Well, and I wonder like how many people would actually like recognize those guys.
I know,
so it would be funny to be like, "Go get a trade." And him be like, "Oh my God, someone recognized me.
Fix that salary cap, Ken."
I'll work on that.
I can't believe I forgot about that. I've never shared that with you, but it was definitely hilarious. I was like, what a weird interaction to have with that guy. And I thought the same thing. I am one of very few people that was going to notice who that was. Like no one else is going to know who that guy is.
Right.
He looks like a guy that works at a desk for, you know, Merrill Lynch. So anyway.
So true.
16-22 Sacramento Kings. They play tomorrow against the Lakers, and then they'll come back to Sac and play the Hawks. So a back-to-back tomorrow, Wednesday. We're just every time before we do these episodes, Jill, I ask you what you want to talk about, because at this point it's so nothing,
same old,
you know?
Same old.
Same old, same old. We just don't really know what to do. So we're gonna try
something until there's a significant like or any move made, like it's our opinions haven't really changed.
Yeah, no, we don't, you know, like Carmichael Dave try and fool you and, or try and tease it with how you're thinking. Me and Jill are not, we don't care about wins or wins like this.
We're when like, it comes yay, they won. But okay, it is like,
yeah,
we'll celebrate every win because
no, I'll never be
we
sad.
We rarely get wins.
Yeah,
never we rarely get wins. But as you said, like it's, it doesn't change anything with how we overall view.
And if they do
the
make
state, the state of the Kings,
the state of the Kings is still shit. So we haven't changed from that, deviated from that. But when the trades do come, because they will, me and Jill will likely
maybe
potentially throw on a live episode and try and do something right away. So because we have the material to talk about. But until then, I hope you guys stick with us. We're going to probably get back to Jill's coaching list. We always have the water coolers. In different games we try and incorporate, but yeah, it's a lull.
You know, we're in the lull period. I lost a candidate. On my
yeah.
List. But as an Aces fan, until we get the Monarchs back, I've been an Aces fan as soon as they started, just cause I have family there and have been able to go out and do all that. As an Aces fan, I'm happy.
Yeah. It's a great coach. Ass.
You know, I'm happy for her to get an opportunity. Unlike others, I don't think her going there and getting the opportunity means that her goal of eventually maybe being an NBA coach has changed, because she had to take the opportunity to finally be a head coach.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like no matter where that comes. And so
no, I don't blame her for doing
you know,
that
and if she goes and takes that roster, which we all think is an extremely talented roster and it's been underutilized, she can go do big things there. Like that's just even more props to her. So, and she's getting like the slash GM duty. So, I mean, that's even more responsibility.
Mark Davis.
Cause she has interviewed for both in the NBA. It's GM and she interviewed for the Bucks GM position years ago. So yeah, this is good opportunity for, and it's pretty cool that it's going back to, that was the San Antonio Stars franchise that moved to, to be the Aces. And so her jersey's in the rafters and she gets to coach him. Like that's badass.
No, that is badass. And she's badass. And much love to Mark Davis, owner of my Raiders, who's now the owner of Vegas Aces. He's doing some good things with that team since taking over and doing that, for getting Becky in there. That's huge. I mean, that is, I was hyped when I saw that, because I'm like, that's big moves to get a coach like that for that team. That is, like, and you said, has talent. And now they're going to have probably
one
of the best coaches in the WNBA.
They have finished second or, you know, have been in the semis almost every year since they've been in the league, based on them starting and having those number one picks and the talent they have. And hopefully she'll add some 3-point talent, which is really like the one thing that they're kind of missing. But putting her with Kelsey Plum and point God in the WA, Chelsea Gray, is freaking awesome. And then add that to Wilson. Super excited.
And this reminds me, we got to get my buddy Sean Holko back on here, host of the Sean Avon Show, because he is a huge WNBA fan. So we got to have one episode where we get him on, because he'll know a little bit more about it than me. But I love the passion, I love the game that's continuing to grow. All right, that'll do it for us on this Monday. Thank you guys. I hope you had a happy new year. Keep forgetting it's 2022. New year, same bullshit kind of, Jill, honestly. That's what I wish Tyrese had said. New year, same bullshit. Here we are.
Yeah. And everyone send your positive vibes to G-Man. G-Man's down with COVID. So everyone send him and Miss Marlene some good thoughts
to the wife. So to the GOAT of Kings radio broadcasting, and just the GOAT of radio broadcasting, period. All right. You guys have a great rest of your day. Till next time. Later, dudes.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.